Our scripture today is found in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in the high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of our Lord.
Well, good morning again. This first Sunday of the new year, I'm going to do things a little differently, but not so far out there that's something we've not done before. If you notice the title, Let Us Pray, that's what we're going to do today. And in fact, I was reminded this week afresh of the privilege, the blessing, and the responsibility we have as Christians to simply be a people of prayer. So this morning, in light of Paul's words to Timothy, I'd point out a couple of things that stand out to me as we as a community, a congregation, a body of faith and believers go to prayer here momentarily. The church is reminded in these couple of verses that if we want to remain in the faith, to always bring our requests, that's our prayers for ourselves, to God, to always bring intercessions, which is our prayers that go out for others and to the Lord, and then prayers of thanksgiving. And so it's one of those things that it's like, I guess, calisthenics that's good for us, but we take for granted that we know how to do it, and we forget, and we kind of let it go by the wayside, and eventually you're not doing them anymore. And so it's a new year, and let's start off by thinking in those terms. See, Jesus calls us to this today. In fact, the Word of God says that my house shall be a house of prayer. And sometimes we take it for granted that, well, the pastor said a prayer, so we've prayed today. But we need to go a little further than that. And with that in mind, there are a couple of saints that have gone on before that have made some statements about prayer that I want to share with you to prepare your heart and mine as we join our hearts in prayer today. John Stott, actually, who was an English Christian leader and Anglican cleric, affirms this way. He says, the purpose of prayer is emphatically not to bend God's will our way, but rather to align our will with His. Prayer is the very way that God Himself has chosen for us to express our conscious need of Him and our humble dependence upon Him. Because oftentimes I forget that, in the sense that I come with my laundry list and I expect God to give me certain things and to do certain things, when in fact it's a reminder that it's about Him and my humble dependence fully on Him this year. He goes on to say, it's impossible to pray for someone without loving them, and impossible to go on praying for them without discovering that my love for them grows and matures as I pray for them, because sometimes there are people that I overlook or that I really, given the opportunity, will put off, or maybe even don't really feel like praying for them. And the statement reminds me, as I pray for people, I begin to love them in a way that I could not love them before. Prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God, he says, or bending His will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to Him. And so we pray today. Let me share a couple of other thoughts on the significance of being a praying people today to prepare our hearts for what God has in store, because When we are in prayer, we never walk away the same. Just like I said of worship over the holidays, at Christmas morning, if it's truly worship, we never, I think it was Christmas Eve, if it's truly worship, Richard Foster says, we never walk away the same. Something changes within us when we come to worship. He says, let me go on to another one. Andrew Murray, who was a South African writer, teacher, and Christian pastor who considered missions to be the chief end of the church, passionately believed this. He says, As long as in prayer we just pour out our hearts in a multitude of petitions without taking time to see whether every petition is sent with a purpose and an intent of getting answered, not many will reach their mark. In other words, he's saying we don't just spew out all of this stuff and kind of walk away and whatever happens, happens. We pray with focus and intent that even though my answer may not be what I thought it was going to be, there is an answer coming. And so we wait upon it expectantly that God is going to give an answer back to whatever that prayer need is. He goes on to say, how many prayers are wishes sent up year after year as a matter of duty while we rest content with the prayer without the answer? We should learn so to pray that God would see and we would know what we really expect. There's a learning and a growing in that experience of praying. In response to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, where the Apostle Paul affirms to the church, he says this, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Paul is implying that he was constantly praying for the church at Thessalonica, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was praying that that would grow, that faith that had grown in them in Christ. And in response to that, Pastor Alistair Begg, who is senior pastor of Cleveland, Ohio's Parkside Church, notes it this way. He says, Paul's mention of a constant prayer reminds me in my study of this text how impossible it is to over or to underestimate the impact of the prayers of the leadership of a church. Now, sometimes that just by default comes to me as pastor, but there are many, many levels of leadership within the congregation and the church that matter much. And so for those who are praying, he goes on to say, probably the facts are that the greater impact of leadership in the church, the unity that may be enjoyed, the provision of God, the expansion of his kingdom, and the engagement in world mission, only eternity will reveal how much of that actually hinged upon the prayers that were offered in silence and in privacy by those entrusted with the privilege of leadership. Now, he's implying that we are a praying people in our prayer closets. I get that. But we are also corporately a praying people in community as the body of Christ. He goes on to say, for effective ministry in a church, you need a praying eldership. And his church is organized a little different than ours. But I would say you need a praying leadership and you need a praying congregation. If a church is to be effective in ministry, hear that today, church. We need a praying leadership and we need a praying congregation. There is power in the prayers that are lifted by the people of God. Now, sometimes we forget that, and I forget that because I may not feel the results. I may not immediately see the results. I may feel like that once again I've thrown it up and it's like a lead balloon hitting the ceiling and here we go again. But the fact remains, if it's true from what these saints are saying, every time you speak a word to God Almighty, he will give you an answer if you wait. If you wait upon the Lord. And then finally, E.M. Bounds, who was an American author, attorney, and member of the Methodist Episcopal Church South in an era when it was hard to be an African-American pastor in an area that was against that. He is known for writing 11 books, 9 of which focus on the subject of prayer. And so E.M. Bounds, even though he wrote in a previous era, his words powerfully apply to our lives and our ministry today. He says this, God has of his own motion placed himself under the law of prayer and has obligated himself to answer the prayers of men, and I would add women and children. He has ordained prayer as a means whereby he will do things through men as they pray, which he would not do otherwise. If prayers put God to work on earth, then by the same token, prayerlessness rules God out of the world's affairs and prevents him from working. So the driving power, the conquering force in God's cause is God himself, where he says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not, is God's challenge in prayer to you and I this year. as we begin this year with prayer. That comes from one of his writings called The Weapon of Prayer. He says, prayer puts God in full force into God's work. And so we pray. What the church needs today, he goes on to affirm, is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men, women, and children whom the Holy Spirit can use, a people of prayer, individuals mighty in prayer. And for those in pastoral leadership, which hits at the heart of what I have been called to and convicts me, he says, every preacher who does not make prayer a mighty factor in his own life and ministry is weak as a factor in God's work and is powerless to project God's cause in this world. And so I pray. Paul, once again, in his letter to the church, where Timothy was sent as pastor, says this in a clear and vivid way, where we heard from the scripture that Mary Lou shared. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, not just people in the church, not just my friend, not just my neighbor, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quietful lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, this morning the text points out also, as I just said, we are to pray for everyone, especially those leading us, whether we like them or feel like what they are doing is right or not, because this pleases God, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Leaders are to be lifted up and prayed for. And so as we look at a new year of ministry together with Paul's word in mind, I simply want to do this. I want to lead us into a focused time of prayer before we close our time of worship here at the table and celebrating Holy Communion this first Sunday of the year. Now, we've done this before, but not enough as a congregation. So let's just keep it simple this morning. I'm going to share a particular group situation or scenario, and after we've spent a couple moments praying for that certain group, I will close us. Very simple, and yet very powerful, if we believe what these saints who have gone before are saying. When you pray, it's not futile if you are connecting with the Lord of all creation. Now, these saints through the years have reminded us what the body of Christ is to be about in prayer, both individually, and I get that many of you do faithfully go to your prayer closet alone and do spiritual warfare before the throne for those that are on your heart and your list, if you will. But there are times that we are called together as a congregation to do the same. And so today, to set the course, at the first of this year, we will begin by lifting up prayers for our nation. We will pray for our community. And finally, we'll pray together for Christ's church throughout the world. Very simple format. However the Spirit leads you and your spirit to lift up whatever comes to your heart and mind when you hear these, please just faithfully lift that up. And if you feel led to speak a word of affirmation or conviction or confirmation out loud, I pray that you feel liberty to do that today. So let's join our hearts together as we come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we come, as we've already sang and heard your word and heard comments about the fact that as we are in this house, we are meeting not just with one another, but with you. And so, Lord, we come to honor you this day, this very first day of a new year, which to you is not new because you do not function in time and operate as we do, and you are eternal. But we come to acknowledge that you are the only one who can rightly lead and guide this, our country. And so, Lord, we lift up prayers today for our country as we have been through a tenuous election season. We are called at this time and this point and this day, whether we agree or disagree with different leaders and their leadership, to lift them before you. And so we ask that you would bless our country, not with material wealth or not with possessions, but with your wisdom and your love and your compassion. Oh God, we pray that we would be a people who are pursuing you and your plans for us individually and corporately. And so, Lord, today as we join our hearts in prayer, we lift them for our leaders. First of all, we would simply take a moment to set aside today to pray for our local government. We pray for our mayor, our cabinet, and other leaders that have said, yes, I would be grateful to serve the community of Springville, New York. Father, we take a moment this morning to stretch further out. As you have told us in your word to pray for all leaders, we lift up the national government. We may not know who is and is not on staff of this very large organization in our country, but we just simply pray right now for those who are in the Senate. For those who do know, we lift our senators before you this morning. And the great task that's ahead of them. Oh God, we pray for the Congress. We pray for divine wisdom and understanding. And knowing the power that can come with being in leadership, we pray for a humble heart for those who are truly seeking your direction. And Lord, as we go up the ladder, so to speak, if you will, knowing that there were many who were disappointed and many who were very celebratory and glad the day that the president-elect was announced one way or the other, we are reminded by the great statement from your servant Chuck Colson, who had said previously that salvation does not arrive on Air Force One, that we are to pray for the president-elect Donald Trump, whether we agree or disagree with decisions that have been made and will be made. We pray for his guidance and wisdom and salvation, and that he would become a leader that seeks your divine guidance. We pray for the cabinet that is already beginning to surround the leadership. We pray for the vice president of this great country, that he would seek on his knees how to go when the winds of change and the storms that are already before them in the government face them and they have to make decisions that are very unimaginably difficult. We pray for your wisdom and strength, that your will be done, as we say each week, on earth as it is in heaven. And so teach us, God of every nation, to see every question of national policy in the light of our faith. Not that it's just a political thing that we can separate, because if we are children, your children, followers of Jesus, we cannot do that. So in light of our faith, that we may check in ourselves and others every passion that makes for war, for all ungenerous judgments, all promptings of self-assurance, and all presumptuous claims. Grant us insight, O God, to recognize the needs and aspirations of other nations and remove our suspicions and misunderstandings, that we may honor all people in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we lift up those international governments right now, especially those that we, if we're honest, we don't desire to pray for, as they are harmful to people and they are anti-God and they are agnostic, to say the least. There are many that would rather worship their leaders than the ultimate leader, in Jesus Christ. So we pray for windows of opportunity for the saints who are behind the lines in communist and other countries that can offer light where there is darkness, that can offer truth where there is hatred, that can offer hope where there is helplessness. And now, Father, we bring it on back home a little bit closer, not so much the leaders, but just our community at large. Oh God, by your Spirit, with our Spirit, would you put on our hearts even now those individuals that we are burdened with, that are hurting and broken and lost apart from you, that we know by name, and we can be a light and a signpost. Stir them, Lord. Use us to stir faith that you have planted there in their hearts. Father, we bring it even in closer to our own families as we have just come through a season of celebration and even challenges as families have come together close during the Christmas and the New Year celebrations, and we all don't think alike or look alike or believe alike. And yet by grace, we've been able to gather around the table. Lord, we pray for those in our family that, once again, in a moment of vulnerability and honesty, we don't even enjoy, but we're called to love them, and they may say the same of us. Oh God, we pray for our family members who are lost without Christ. Give us wisdom and discernment and a love for them that goes so deep that we can't even imagine where it comes from, like the peace that you offer that goes beyond understanding. Our God, we lift our children to you this morning and the challenges that they face and will face, unimaginable in this world that we live in. As mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, and for those blessed enough this day to be great grandmothers and grandfathers, Lord, we seek your divine understanding how to raise our children so that they would love you passionately. They would be found faithful. They would desire nothing more at the top of their list than to please you first in all things. And that they would know a God that whenever they stumble, they don't have to run away, but they run into your arms. Lord, even now, as we think of our community, we lift the sick among us. Friends and family and community members and extended family and those that we typically hear the prayers of each week as we lift up, many facing surgeries and sickness and cancer. Once again, we could even lift those who have gathered around the Christmas table with the empty seats this year. Lord, we pray that we would be instruments of healing by a word spoken, a gift offered, a card sent, whatever you desire, may it be our desire. Oh Lord, you are a God of covenants. Teach us what that word means this year. Save us from being self-centered in our prayers. Teach us how to pray, truly pray for others in a needful sense. Help us to be so bound up in love for those that we pray for that we may even feel their needs as acutely as our own, and to intercede for them with sensitivity and with understanding. Oh God, with imagination. We can only ask in Jesus' name, because He is the one that gives us grace to even begin to have this desire. Lord, thank You for this congregation, with its complexities and blessings and joys and struggles and concerns and insights and wisdom that comes from You. Thank You for the ministries that You have raised through the years, and may we be found faithful in seeking to pursue others as we move forward in a very changing world. Help the leadership to find ways to pray effectively as we grow together in ministry. And then as ministries are raised up, help us to accept the challenges that come along with those as a blessing and not something that's short-sighted, but as part of the way that You shape us, teach us, lead us, and continue to transform us into the very image of the One who came so that we may have life. Oh God, this morning we would lift up the local churches, that even now are meeting with You and worshiping, and especially those that we have differences with. Otherwise, we would not be meeting in different places. Lord, help us to major on the majors and to find ways to show grace on the minor things that divide us. Help us to recognize that there is truly only one Church of Jesus Christ universal, and that we have brothers and sisters that we have never met in places we have never seen, but even in our own communities, brothers and sisters that we don't too often minister with. Help us to cross those spaces to meet, to grow, to share in the ministries that You have called Your own here in this community. And then finally, Lord, today, I can't even begin to understand how to pray in this direction because I've not been there, but we lift the persecuted church throughout the world, knowing that we have brothers and sisters who are gratefully giving even everything, including their lives, their very lives, for the gospel. Oh God, we pray that we would be found faithful that way. We pray for wisdom and discernment. We pray for protection. And more than that, we pray for faithfulness, just as You told Peter that whenever he would turn back, Your prayer was that his faith would be shared with the brothers and sisters in the church, and so he did. Oh God, we pray today for the fact that we are grateful that even unimaginably the persecuted church prays for us. What a wonderful blessing. What an amazing thing to think about, that we have connections throughout the world as we pray faithful prayers. You bring about Your kingdom come, as we say, on earth as it is in heaven. And because of that, we see Your ministry. We see Your presence. We get to experience things that otherwise a prayerlessness would defeat. Gracious God, we pray for Your church universal, that You would be pleased to fill it with all truth and peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Oh God, where it is in error, where we are in error, picking up things that are man-made traditions, direct it and redirect it. Where anything is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, have Your way and establish it. And where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it for the sake of Him who died and rose again and ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh God, help us to understand a little more clearly what it means that Jesus, even now, is making intercession for us. Jesus, Son of God, is praying for His people. Now, Lord, in this final moment of silence that we will share this morning as a body of believers before we come to your table, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would impress upon each one of our spirits the things that are needful in prayer that I've missed or left out or overlooked. Who is that one? What is the situation? What is the circumstance that we need to be burdened with in a blessed way? And pray it through until we get an answer. Lord, we know you are faithful. Oh God, hopefully this time of prayer, if nothing else, has reminded us that you have called us to constantly watch and pray, watch and pray. Therefore, whatever may it be, the sin against which we pray, make us careful to watch against it. And so have reason to expect that our prayers will be answered. No matter what, our prayers will be answered in one form or fashion. In order to do this in a way that honors you this new year, God, we ask that you would grant us grace to preserve, or better yet, to persevere in a sober and equal temper and a humble spirit and sincerity to pray for your assistance and guidance in all we do. And as the saints who have gone on before remind us, not to bend your will, that's not what we're coming to this for, but to submit our own in such a way that all we say and all we do is in your name. All we say, may we be found faithful, Lord. That's all we can ask. Oh God, as we have already sang this morning, our help in ages past. You are our strength in the days to come. And we trust that that prayer is true and will be seen to be answered this year. I thank you. Oh Lord, I just thank you for the chance to sit in your presence this morning and to wait. And so as we prepare our hearts to come and receive the things that you have taken these ordinary, everyday, simple elements and made them extraordinary and holy and divine, may we not miss that point this day. For it is in Christ's name that we have prayed all of these prayers, and it is in Christ's name that we will close this prayer today, as God's children all together say, amen and amen.